Notice what he's saying there. He said, I just don't go by the impressions or the feelings. You know, I just don't go. And that's the problem that we have today. Too many folks say, well, I experienced this. Or this is how I feel. God don't care how you feel. Cain was angry. God said, I don't care how you feel. Do the right thing. All right? So he said, look, you know, I don't leave God's will up to how I feel or my impressions.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we conclude our series, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the conclusion of Part 9, How to Listen to God. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of how to listen to God.
Lord, I'm going to hold on to your unchanging hand. See, that's God speaking. That's God speaking to your heart. And yet and still we say, what is God saying? God got plenty to say. What has God revealed to me about some sin at all? And this is why many of us don't want to come. This is why many of us don't want to come. Because we don't want to be confronted with our own sin, with our pride. You know, we can look at the person out there that's taking the drugs and beating folk up and doing, but you know, and we come with our little pious attitude. I don't smoke, cuss, or chew, and I don't loaf with those who do. You know, we got that little attitude. All right. And what I'm doing is not that bad. But God is nudging us on these little things, this little attitude that we got. You know, this little attitude. God's saying, look, you need to deal with this attitude. And, you know, you need to write that down. Attitude, okay. And then God, I got to work on this thing now. You spoke to my heart about that. What has God revealed to me that I should do about a particular situation? Maybe there's something you're going through right now, and you need to know what to do. What has God revealed to me about my service for him? What has God revealed to me in reference to my family and my friends? Your quiet time. You see, this is the beginning of a quiet time right there where you want to just open your heart and you want to listen to God. Let me go back to my quiet time definition once again. Is that intentionally intended time where I come into the garden of God to expose my soul to the radiance of his presence through his word and prayer and thus allowing his spirit to speak to my heart. That's what a quiet time is. So you don't have to have a quiet time. You can be on your job. On your lunch break now, don't do it on your time, you know, on your lunch break. You have a quiet time on your lunch break, all right? But you need to have a quiet time so that God can speak to your heart. Last week we talked about this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. God spoke to Samuel through an audible voice, all right? Look at verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go and lie down. It shall be, if the Lord shall speak, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. The Lord spoke to Samuel. He spoke to Samuel through an audible voice. He spoke to him. Now, once again, for the sake of repetition, I'm going to say it again. You know, going back to last week, when we talked about all the different ways that God speaks, and God has spoken, and we gave a caution with each one, because every way that we have identified, there's a caution that we need to be aware of. But you know what? Let me just reiterate the four surefire ways that we know in the New Testament times that God is speaking. All right? He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through our circumstances. And then he speaks through other people. All right? Those are the surefire ways that we know. Now, the other ways God speaks in dreams, visions. Like I said, he even rose the dead. He sent Samuel back from the dead to speak to Saul. All right, angels. So there's been a variety of ways that God has spoken, but we need to put our money on these right here. All right. Then we see Samuel listened to God. Samuel listened to God. He said what? Thy servant heareth. That means he was listening. God was speaking, and Samuel was listening. Let's go back to my good friend, Charles Stanley, again. When I say my good friend, my good radio friend, I've never met him in person. I've been to his church several times, but never met him in person. And I would recommend, get that book, How to Listen to God, or Listening to God by Charles Stanley. You know, you won't regret it. That's a powerful, powerful book. I think he rewrote it, and he might have even changed it up a little bit and maybe changed the name. But that is a powerful book, How to Listen to God. And Stanley says this. He says, there are several ways that we need to listen to God. Let me flow through these pretty quick. Expectantly, we already talked about that. You got to expect God to speak. Quietly, you got to be still before God. Patiently, you may have to wait a season before you hear on a specific issue. So you got to be patient. You got to come with patience, and you got to say, okay, Lord, I know you're going to speak. I know you're going to tell me something. I know you're going to guide me. I know you're going to direct me. Lord, I know that there's something in this for me, and I'm walking away. You know, I go back once again. I go back to the move. I wasn't hearing it, man. I wasn't hearing the move. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't hearing it. And I just had to, I said, you know what? One thing I realized is this. If there's unclarity in the pulpit, there's going to be fog in the pew. All right? And I was unclear. And I was trying to step, and I kept trying to tell y'all that I really hadn't heard from God yet. Yeah, I kept trying to tell you that. I knew God had the answer. I knew God had the answer. I just hadn't heard it yet. And as I went into that season of fasting and prayer, it was confirmation. I mean, it was clear to me that this is what we're supposed to do. But, you know, there was that time when I had to wait. And you know what? I'm sure my name is William Raymond Glaze, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, once again, I told you last week, how did God speak to me? He spoke to me right out of his word. I was reading the word when God spoke to my heart about this. And then he sent the Spirit to confirm it in my heart. And so as we see, you know, how does God work, and how are we to listen? We got to listen patiently. We may have to wait for a season. You got to listen actively. You may have to, you know, meditate and read the word. You know, sometimes just don't say, well, you know, I'm going to go about my business and wait for God to speak to me. No, you got to be intentional. You got to set aside time for you to get along with God, to hear. You got to be in his word. You got to, watch yourself now, Pastor. Watch yourself now. You got to come to church. You know, God uses the preacher to speak to your heart. You know, one of the things that you, I emphasize this with our new members. I emphasize this with our new members, that when you come to Bethany, or if you go to any church that you join, what are you saying? You're saying, look, I'm taking the most valuable thing that I have. The most valuable thing that you have is not your car. The most valuable thing that you have is not your house. The most valuable thing you have is not your children. Okay? It's as much as we like to think, the most valuable thing is not your children. You know the most valuable thing that you have is your soul. House, car, clothes, and children will not accompany you into eternity. Now, you may join up with them in eternity, but when you make that trip, it's just going to be you and soul. And when you say that I want to become a member of this church, what are you saying? You're saying that I'm taking my soul. The most precious thing that I have in this world is my soul, and I'm placing it under care of this church. I'm placing it under the care of this church, that a message is going to come, and it's going to come and speak to my heart from God. I'm placing my soul under the care of this church because I believe that when the pastor stands up on Sunday morning and preaches from the word of God, I believe that he's speaking for God to my life. Now, I didn't say I'm God, all right? I didn't say that. I'm not God. I got hands and feet of clay, and I fall, all right? So I'm not God. But I like to think that when I stand here, I'm yielded to him, and I'm giving you a message that God wants you to give. And so how do you hear a word for your life? You hear a word for your life by coming to the house of God to hear what the man of God has to say. And so, you know, we need to be active as we listen. We need to listen confidently and know that we will hear what we need to hear. We need to listen dependently and that, you know, depending upon the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that we need to know. We need to listen openly. And that's a willingness to hear what whatever God says, it needs to be said, whether good or bad. We want the good, but we need to realize whatever God has to say to us, whether it's good or bad, we need to be open and willing to hear. We need to listen carefully, and that is sifting through what is heard through the Word of God. You know, just because you hear something, I love those Bereans. Paul stood up and Paul preached, and the Bereans didn't accept everything that Paul said at face value. They said, "That sounds good, Paul." But what did they do? They went and searched it to make sure that what he was saying was right. All right? And so what I'm saying is, you know, this message right here, you got these notes, you got two pages of notes. Pastor Glaze might have said something that's not right. You go home and search it out. You go home and look at it and see if this lines up with God's will for your life. Submissively, and that is a willingness to obey whatever he says. And then gratefully, that we are grateful for all that God has done for us. You know, there was back in the early days of communication, when they communicated through Morse code, they advertised the job for an operator. And the guys were sitting there waiting for an interview. And one guy, he was the last one to come in. And he came in and sat down. And all of a sudden, he got up and he walked back in the office. These guys are all waiting out there to go in the office. He walks in the office. 5 minutes later, the boss walks out and says, "The interviews are over. We've already hired the person that we're going to hire." And those guys were salty. They said, "How in the world can you hire, you know, somebody? You didn't even give us a chance." He said, "Well, while you guys were sitting there," he said, "it was tapped out in Morse code that whoever wants the job to come on into my office." And he was the only one that understood the Morse code, and he came in and he got the job. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, God is speaking, and God is tapping out the message, all right? The thing is, can we hear it? Can we understand the message? Well, hopefully, as you listen to God, that you can use these things in your life so that you can hear the message. God is speaking in a heavenly language. God is speaking in a language sometimes that's not of this earth. And we need to be able to hear that message. As I conclude today, God revealed his will to Samuel. Look at verses 11 through 18, and we'll conclude with this. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because of his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever.' And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.' And Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him, and said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth to him good.'" He gave him the message. God spoke clearly to Samuel. God revealed to him his will. God has a perfect will for you. And God wants to speak to you. And God, the same way that he gave this message, the same way that it came across clear, is the same way God wants to communicate to you. As I close today, I want to look at something that I read. And you know, I try to write stuff down that after we leave here that you can take and you can read over and over again. And the thing that I wanted to share is how to ascertain the will of God by George Mueller. Now, many of you might not know who George Mueller is. George Mueller ran an orphanage in England, and he didn't have a job. He literally fed those orphans by faith. There was one time that they didn't have an ounce of food to put on the table, and Mueller gathered the children around just like they were getting ready to eat, and they sat around the table, and Mueller was praying, and there was nothing they had, and a bread truck broke down in front of his house and came in and asked for assistance, came in and saw that and gave him bread. I mean, and that was just a small testimony in the life of George Mueller. I mean, this was a guy that trusted God for every penny that he got, every morsel of food that he got. He prayed it in. And I said, you know, this guy got something to say. And if he got something to say, maybe it would be good for us to listen. And I thought this was great. He says, knowing God's will is the key to prayer, spiritual growth, and fruitfulness in our lives. Here's how George Mueller set out to ascertain the will of God on a daily basis. Daily. Notice what he said, daily. And the reason I put this is because it kind of brings this whole, what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, all right? It brings it all together. And let me read, because I'm going somewhere with this. Let me read this, and then I want to go somewhere. I want to go somewhere with this, all right? I want to go somewhere with this. Mueller said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of trouble with people generally is here. 9/10 of difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. Notice what he's saying there. He said, I just don't go by the impressions or the feelings. You know, I just don't go. And that's the problem that we have today. Too many folks say, well, I experienced this, or this is how I feel. God don't care how you feel. Cain was angry. God said, I don't care how you feel. Do the right thing. Amen. All right? So he said, look, you know, I don't leave God's will up to how I feel or my impression. He said, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the scriptures and never contrary to them. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with his word and his spirit. So you hear what Mueller's saying? He's saying first, you know, I let the Spirit, I try to keep myself in a place where I'm prayed up, where I'm walking with God, and I try to let the Spirit lead me and guide me. But I don't let the Spirit lead me and guide me without comparing what the Spirit is leading God into the Word. And if there's a contradiction there, then we know we got to wrestle some more. He goes on to say, I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me aright. Thus, through prayer to God, the study of the word, and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. Now listen to this. This blows me away. In trivial matters and in transactions involving the most important issues, I have found this method always effective. That's some good stuff right there. Oh, that's some good stuff right there. You hear what Mueller's saying? George Mueller said, once again, I'm not trying to override what the Bible, but he said that, you know, I don't leave it up to impressions and feelings. He said, I try to be yielded to the Spirit. And he said, if the Spirit impresses something on my mind, upon my heart, then I check it with the Word of God. And then he said, I'll pray it through two or three times. And then if I have a peace in my spirit, then I'll know that it's God's will. He said, I do this in the smallest matter, and I do this in the greatest matter. Now, where am I going as I close? 3 weeks. 3 weeks, all tied up into this. Do you know how God works in your life? Can you articulate how you find the will of God in your life? This was a pattern in his life. He understood how God operated. What did I say earlier? What's one reason why God speaks? Because he wants you to get to know him. Do you know how God operates in your life? Now, you might not spell it out like George Mueller, but you ought to know. You ought to know how he operates in your life. You ought to know what you need to do to get yourself in a position to hear from God. I know one thing, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I know one thing. I know that I'm not going to make any major decisions in my life personally or in this church if I haven't spent a season of prayer and possibly fasting. I'm just not going to do it. Because I know that that's serious to me, and I know that I feel most confident that God is working and speaking to me when my life is yielded in that way. How about you? And I want to challenge you with this. If you don't know how God works in your life, then you need to get alone and find and begin to seek. What do you need to do to line up with the will of God? What do you need to do in your life? And once again, it goes back to the quiet time. What did I say you need to have? You need to have a pen and a piece of paper so that you can journal, so that you can write it down. And if anybody asks you, I was reading an article the other day by Bill Hybels, and it was about self-leadership. And one of his points was, and I got kind of mad at him. I said, man, who are you to come off like this? He said, any pastor that does not know his top three gifts, you should be embarrassed. And he said, and then he went on to say, if you're still thinking about it now, then you don't know what they are. And he said, you ought to be able to rattle them off. Boom, boom, boom. He said, rattle them off just like that. I couldn't do it. So you know what? I need to go back. I know what my top two are, but I was trying to think, what is my third one? And he just said, if you don't know the top three. And I was like, man, who are you, man? Who made you God? But he was right. He was right. And so what I'm saying, and you might get mad at me, like I got mad at Hybels, but if you can't articulate to some degree the way that George Mueller has articulated this, then you need to challenge yourself. You need to go challenge yourself to say, when God gets ready to speak to my heart, and I need to hear from God, and really, we need to filter this down to a daily basis, that when I need to hear from God, this is where I'm at. This is what I need to do. And you know what, saints, let me say this, because I know somebody will leave here and take me the wrong way. I'm not saying have a process. I'm not saying have, this process, this checklist. I'm just saying in your spirit. You ought to have a feel in your spirit that what it is that you need to do in order for you to be able to hear from the Lord. I don't know how much I can emphasize. I tried to preach my heart out now. And I'm just trying to tell you that God is speaking. And that God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you about issues in your life. And you got to hear. You got to hear what God is saying. What is he saying? And just as I go back to those quiet time questions, what has he revealed about himself, Christ, or the Holy Spirit? What has he revealed to me about sin in my life? What has he revealed to me about what I should do in a particular situation? What about my service for him? And what about family and friends? God is speaking. Are we listening?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part one of Life Comes at You Fast. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, How to Listen to God, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877 877- 831-5060 and request How to Listen to God, or program number 060-319. That's 877-831-5060 and request How to Listen to God, or program number 060-319. Today's teaching concludes our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The 9-part series is available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.